Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
This week's podcast is titled The Taylor Swift's Broken Window. You know, it takes a lot for me to be shockingly disappointed at the words that come out of the mouths of the permabull talking heads on financial media. But this one example that I'm going to give you was so egregious, I had to start my podcast off with it. The chief investment strategist for Sanctuary Wealth, was asked last week by the excellent, I happen to like her very much, Bloomberg TV reporter Lisa Abramowitz, if Nike's earnings and revenue warnings were a signal that the global growth was about to stall out. You know, Nike is a bellwether for the global economy, and it sounded a warning sign last Thursday because the company slashed its revenue and outlook for the whole year amid growing concerns about consumers that are slowing their spending around the world. So this was the chief investment strategist's response. She thought global growth was going to be strong next year. And her rationale was that, and this is not a joke, the Taylor Swift tour was going international. And that brings a $10 billion boost to the economy wherever it goes. In other words, the Taylor Swift tour brings about an increase in spending, and that spending produces a strong economy. What great logic. Great reason to be bullish. And that put me in mind of the parable of the broken window, which was introduced by French economist Frédéric Bastiat in his 1850 essay, That Which We See and That Which We Do Not See, to illustrate why destruction and the money spent to recover from destruction is not actually a net benefit to society. Now, I understand that Taylor Swift tour isn't necessarily a destructive force. However, the concept is the same. Spending money on an event, be it a concert or to repair a window, does not necessarily equate to a boost in GDP. So the parable goes briefly like this. Suppose it costs 6 francs to repair the damage of a window, and you say that that accident brings 6 francs of spending to the glazier's trade, and that glazier spends that money, and that boosts the economy, basically. So if you come to the conclusion, as too often is the case, that it is good to break windows and break things or just spend money on things, and that causes money to circulate, and that the encouragement of industry is in general will be the result of it, you will oblige me to call out. Stop there, Bastiat says. You will oblige me to call out, stop there. Your theory is confined to that which is seen. It takes no account of that which is not seen. Is it not seen that our shopkeeper has spent 6 francs upon one thing? He cannot spend them upon another? Is it not seen that if he had not had a window to replace, he would perhaps have replaced his old shoes or added another book to his library? In short, he would have employed his 6 francs in some other way, which this accident has prevented. Okay, enough of Bastiat. The simple truth here is the money spent on Taylor Swift concerts represents money that would have been saved, invested, or spent on something else. Its economic impact is virtually zero and has no productive value. That is, it does not increase the capital stock in the economy and thus cannot increase the productive capacity of the economy. And most importantly, for this lady that was on Bloomberg, it should never be the basis of your investment analysis. In sharp contrast, we use the 20-point inflation, deflation, and economic cycle components to measure the liquidity impulse, which determines the direction of inflation and growth, instead of the mainstream financial media's buy-and-hold BS, blather, for reasons to be a permabull, like the Taylor Swift effect. We determine the second derivative of these 10 inflation indicators. G3 nations of the United States, European Union, and China's fiscal and monetary policies. Real or inflation-adjusted Fed funds rate. 10-year break-even spread, the net percentage of domestic banks tightening standards, and the Dallas Fed survey, the direction of the Fed's balance sheet, M2 money supply growth rates, the ISM prices paid components, the Baltic Dry Index, the CRB Index, the US Dollar Index. Those are the 10 components that we use in our inflation deflation model. And then there's the 20 economic cycle indicators, the G3, the same three nations, China, Europe, and the United States, their fiscal and monetary policies, the total non-financial debt as a percentage of GDP, total market cap of equities as a percentage of GDP, the high yield treasury spread, the 10-2's treasury yield spread, the index of leading economic indicators, the copper to gold ratio, the NFIB Small Business Optimism Index, ISM New Orders, and the Financial Conditions Index. That's what we use instead of where Taylor Swift might be appearing next. Now, at this point, the model is predicting a recession that could begin in March. However, we did not close our eyes. I mean, we're not going to close our eyes and put our investment decisions on autopilot. For example, the model predicted a recession and market chaos to begin in 2023. And in March, that's exactly what happened. March of this year, which is almost over, the regional banking system began to crash in March of 2023, which caused the stock market to begin to plunge and would have also led to other recession that I predicted. However, Powell launched the Bank Term Funding Program. This program bought all of the underwater bad assets from banks and gave them full value for those assets for up to 1 year. In fact, Powell printed $400 billion in 2 weeks. And this put the recession, the bailing out of the entire U.S. banking system, on the back burner. And now, was I supposed to ignore that? I mean, was I supposed to continue what my plans to short the stock market and head into the bunker with the four horsemen of the economic apocalypse? No. We did not take a net short position in our portfolio at any time. Now, turning to next year, if the Fed allows the Bank Term Funding Program to expire and Powell continues with quantitative tightening when the reverse repo facility runs dry in March, we should get that delayed recession, and it should be a steep one with a sharp stock market meltdown to boot. If, however, the Fed rolls over the Bank Term Funding Program and stops quantitative tightening, the recession could be more of the pedestrian variety or even postponed for a while, yet again. Now, of course, rolling over the Bank Term Funding Program will mean what Powell did in March of this year to bail out the regional banking system was really more like QE. After all, a loan that is never asked to be paid back is, in reality, just a gift. So at Penta Portfolio Strategies, we don't make predictions about the market and the economy and then just read from that prepared playbook no matter what happens. And we try to make accurate predictions going out several quarters, but then use the IDEC model on a daily basis to determine the accuracy of the estimates. Making specific calls about commodities, currencies, bonds, equities, the economy, and the liquidity impulse going out years in advance is ridiculous and unnecessary, especially when the plan is to invest for that outcome now and then just stick to that plan no matter what. I mean, that is just a lazy way to invest. Our model has us in a net long position for now. We remain long gold and the miners. We remain long defensive stocks. We have a huge treasury note position. We sold all of our T-bills. We're getting ready to, in fact, it's already happening, to make principal appreciation going out 1 to 3 years on the yield curve. And we remain on high vigilance for this to change with a keen focus on March for that change to begin. Have a safe and blessed New Year.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com. or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.